back on Get Up, and we're getting up with the Big Ten. Are they really on the verge of a return that would change everything this fall? We have a direct quote with a direct answer in just a few moments. Meanwhile, everyone seems to have an opinion on Dak and Dallas. Wait until you hear what the greatest of all time has to say about him now. You will. And a bold prediction about the quarterback of a team a lot of us were ready to write off. You'll hear that and more as we get up with you right now. And we begin with the game of the night for all the marbles. Game 7 in the bubble. Nuggets, Jazz, Jamal Murray, Donovan Mitchell. They've been spectacular. This was a low-scoring affair, and it went right down to the final seconds. Under 3 to go. Jazz down 2. Game tied at 74 as Mitchell lays it up and good. Next position. Here comes Murray. Floating. Good. Denver by a deuce. Under 2 minutes to go. Nuggets up 2. Murray to the basket. Rudy Gobert. Can't get there. Nuggets up 78-74. Under a minute to go. Jazz down 2. Mike Conley up. Rudy Gobert down. We're tied again. 35 seconds to go. Still tied. Nikola Jokic. Look at the tough teardrop. He would score 30 on the night. Nuggets lead by 2. Now, the crazy final sequence. Jazz down 2. Need a bucket. Mitchell in traffic. Oh, he turns it over. Oh, the Nuggets are going the other way. Oh, they're going to put it away. Torrey Craig lay it up. Oh, but he misses. And so we're going back the other way. 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Mike Conley for the win. Oh, it was that close. That close. Watch the reaction of Mitchell. He can't believe it. That's how his season ends. That's how this one is decided. That's how the Nuggets are moving on to round 2 of the NBA playoffs.
Well, great job. Yeah! I don't know what Jamal. I don't know what Jamal was doing on the layup to Torrey Craig, but we'll talk about that a different time.
To be fair, I thought he was going to score. So
this is you missed a layup.
My bad.
Now it's funny, you know, but in that moment we were. I bet we were cussing him up the whole 6 seconds until Mike shoot the three. We are laughing right now, but it could be tragic.
Absolutely. That could have been one of the craziest moments in NBA history if the Conley shot goes down. Meanwhile, one of the big stories, of course, were the performances of Murray and Mitchell in the series. 475 points, most ever by opponents in a playoff series, breaking a record that was more than 50 years old. Jerry West and John Havlicek in the 69 NBA Finals of my basketball conversation this morning has been with the great Vince Carter and Kendrick Perkins. Fellas, you're back with me here. And Vince, let's just start with that final sequence again, because that's potentially a terrible moment there, obviously, for Denver. If that Conley shot goes down, what did you see? What didn't get done? What was the right thing to do there? What did you see in that final closing sequence?
Well, if with the Jazz, you notice when the turnover happened, it was still, 11 seconds left. If I'm closing out, if this is a closeout game, and I'm trying to win the series, I want to make sure I have the last shot of the game. And that's both ways, particularly Utah. You're in a position where, you know, you maybe not shoot a shot at 2-3 seconds left where you can get an offensive rebound or a tip-in. But 11 seconds, 12, 13 seconds, wherever he started before the turnover happened, was a little early. And I think I understand in that situation, Donovan's trying to get downhill, get fouled, get a layup, because he was having some success getting to the basket with his Euro step or whatnot. But other than that, I just say, hey, take your time, spread the floor out, and let's give you as much space as possible. On the other end, you're up to Jamal Murray, pull the ball out, make Utah foul you. We want the ball in your hands to close out the game.
All right, meanwhile, Big Perk, on go the Nuggets, and they will take on the Clippers in the next round. And the Clippers will be heavily favored. They've been a championship contender since the very beginning. What chance do you give these young Nuggets of making that a tough battle?
Well, it's going to be – they're going to put that pressure on the Clippers. When you look at the Clippers last round, they struggled with a depleted Dallas Maverick team. That Maverick team was missing a lot of key guys, including their Robin and Porzingis. I'm looking at this Denver Nugget team, and for them to come back down 3-1 shows me that they're battle-tested. They have a guy that is capable of going for 50 in Jamal Murray. They have Big Jokic, who's the best big in the game. They have an underrated player in Jerami Grant. This guy is a stud. He's a great two-way player. And they have a spark of energy that comes off the bench. This guy Plumlee, he don't does things that shows up in the stat sheet, but he makes winning plays. And then you have a young stud that can shoot the ball, that is a scoring machine when he get it, when he gets it going, and Michael Porter Jr. And they are well coached. Mike Malone don't get enough credit. They are well coached. But I do have the Clippers winning in seven. But if the Clippers think that they walking into this series and don't have to strap their shoes up, they tripping.
We will find out starting tomorrow night. Guys, stay close by. We have much more basketball to get to as we continue. But in the meantime, the huge story from yesterday. It was just a few short weeks ago when the Big Ten and the Pac-12 made their decision to postpone all fall sports. Now, as the rest of the Power Five prepares for opening kickoff, Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, heard from President Trump yesterday. This was a tweet from President Trump. Had a very productive conversation with Kevin Warren, commissioner of the Big Ten, about immediately starting up Big Ten football. Would be good, great for everyone, players, fans, country, on the one-yard line. So, again, Heather Dinich, no one is more connected in all of this. And you, I know we're working the phones like crazy yesterday, and Paul Feinbaum back with me. And Dan Orlovsky joins us for the first time this morning. Good to see you, Dan. But Heather, of course, I'll start with you, because there's a lot there. He uses the expression on the one-yard line. He uses the expression immediately starting up Big Ten football. What did the people you spoke to say yesterday?
Well, Greeny, a Big Ten source said nothing has changed. Nothing. We have to get all the medical questions answered before we can even bring back a plan to the presidents for approval. And that is the key. They have to quell the fears of 11 university presidents who voted to postpone the season, because they have to be able to show that they can contain or at least mitigate the concerns around myocarditis and conjunction with COVID-19. And they also have to show those presidents that they can have a league-wide testing protocol that is available and viable to all of their student athletes. And they have not yet presented such a plan to return to the presidents and chancellors.
So to make sure I'm clear, is there any indication at all that there are people who have the authority to make this decision that are rethinking it in the Big Ten?
They're not rethinking it. The people who have the authority are the presidents and chancellors, and they are not rethinking it at this second in time until they are presented with evidence that quells the fears that they had earlier. They were spooked by the medical advisory presentation that they had that lent them to this decision, obviously, right? So we're talking about, yes, everyone in the Big Ten, presidents included, want to get back to the field as soon as possible. That might be at the end of November, but they will not do that until they are shown evidence that myocarditis was either overblown or they can figure out a way to mitigate those risks, because that was a big deal. That was one thing that did scare the presidents.
Not November, Thanksgiving, does not sound immediately, which is the word that was used. Dan Orlovsky, what are your thoughts here? First time we've had you this morning. What is your reaction to all of this?
I mean, Heather's point is exactly what I would be thinking if I was a player or the parent of a player. 3 weeks ago, you told me we were going to cancel the season, and the reason was because the long-term impact of a potential health disease, heart disease. Now there's the chance that that may not be the case. Like, if I'm a player, I'm sitting there going, you better be able to prove to me that what you said was wrong, because I'm not taking the field unless you do. Or if I'm my parent sitting there going, wait, you just told me you were going to make this decision to protect my child. Now in 17 days, something's changed. You better be able to prove to me without a doubt that you were wrong initially. Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, it's like, Greeny, it's almost like he's an early years college kid that struggles with keeping his word and commitment and struggles with pressure. Like, you wrote a letter to the parents in the Big Ten and the fans of the Big Ten saying you would not revisit playing this fall. Now there's word that you're revisiting playing this fall. Like, that to me is as damning as the kind of hasty decision to say we're going to stop right now. And so this is another example of poor leadership. But there needs to be a lot proven to the players and their parents.
All right, Paul Feinbaum. So, again, you opened our show this morning with the great line. I'll let you do it again. When you read the president's tweet saying they're on the one-yard line, what was your reaction?
Well, the reaction of everyone Greeny, was which one yard line are we talking about? And for all the criticism that we've all laid at the feet of Kevin Warren, he got played by the president of the United States. It's as simple as that. If Kevin Warren had been a contestant on The Apprentice many years ago, he would have been fired because Donald Trump didn't become the president of the United States by being a bad politician. And he's been criticized by his opponent in this race for being responsible for canceling football. So he came back and had a win-win proposition with Kevin Warren. If Kevin Warren says, no, we can't play football, then the president can attack some of the Democratic governors. And if they get football, he'll take credit for it, of course. And he might deserve some of the credit because Kevin Warren hasn't done anything to move the football, the goalpost any closer. So in the end, Kevin Warren still looks as bad as he did a week ago or 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago yesterday when this decision came down and he fumbled and stumbled his way through it.
All right. So that's where we stand right now relative to that. Meanwhile, that is only the tip of the iceberg as far as the reporting, Heather, that you are doing. And you have a huge article out this morning about a number of other issues around college football. What are the most important ones the fans need to know?
Well, I think the top one right now is that CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock and Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby both told me they think it's highly unlikely that there would be a second type of a playoff in the spring to accommodate those conferences that are not playing right now. And Stanford coach David Shaw told me earlier this week, he said, okay, well, we don't necessarily need to have an entirely separate system, but I think the selection committee should name their champion in the fall, like they always do, but hold off and watch those teams that play either in the winter or the spring and either say you deserve to be a co-national champion or you deserve to be the winter champion, so to speak. So he said our players need something to play for. The season has to be short, but it has to be meaningful.
Paul, why are you laughing?
I mean, because it's preposterous. I mean, Greeny, it reminds me when we were little kids and we came in eighth place out of eight and they gave us a blue ribbon and said, way to go, kid. Try harder next time. I mean, nobody's going to care about the spring champion. We all know when college football is played. If we get to January and Clemson or Alabama win the national championship, they are the champion, not Stanford or Southern Cal or Ohio State and Michigan holding up the trophy on Memorial Day weekend. I mean, that's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life.
If most of the players even were to play then, we heard Nick Saban suggest that could wind up looking like JV football because a lot of those guys probably wouldn't do it. Dan, final thought. What do you make of all this?
Yeah, fine, Bob. Maybe that's one of the reasons why your athletic career never panned out. Because when I was a kid, if you finished in eighth place, you finished in eighth place, but you didn't get any ribbon or anything. So, listen, these coaches are going to stump for their institutions as much as they can. If you win the Pac-12 championship, congratulations. You're not going to be, if you play winter football, you're not going to be sitting there going, you know what? Oregon was really good this year in the Pac-12. Maybe we should give them co-national champions with Clemson. Win your conference, and that's the best you're going to get this year if you're the Pac-12 or the Big Ten.
We'll see. Again, the possibilities, including two Rose Bowls this year, we'll see it. Two playoffs seems very unlikely. Everybody gets in a bowl game, also not impossible. Heather's piece is jam-packed with a lot of that kind of information. It's available right now on ESPN.com. Guys, awesome. Thank you. As we continue, as the Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott hears it from everywhere, one Hall of Famer weighs in. You're not going to believe what he said. You're going to hear it next. And then, Deshaun Watson may have lost his best receiver, but Dan Orlovsky says it will not stop him from having a huge year, and he'll tell you why as we continue. Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up. Let's get up and go around the world of sports. The NFL and the NFLPA say there were a total of 10 new positives in the latest round of COVID testing, which took place from August 21st through the 29th. Of the 2,747 players tested, there were 4 new confirmed positives. Of the nearly 6,000 personnel tested, there were 6 positives. Elsewhere, Joe Mixon and the Bengals have agreed to a 4-year contract extension worth $48 million. It'll keep Mixon with the Bengals for 5 more years. To New York, Serena Williams won her first round match at the U.S. Open, 7-5-6-3 over Christy Ahn. The victory, her 102nd at the tournament, breaking a tie with Chris Everett for the most by a male or female since the Open era began in 1968. And you can watch tennis today, the 52nd U.S. Open. ESPN coverage starts noon Eastern. Top seeds Novak Djokovic and Karolina Pliskova will both play second-round matches. Then coverage moves to ESPN2 at 6. Continues with 2018 champ and number 4 seed Naomi Osaka in primetime. Every point is also streaming live on the ESPN app. Back to football. We're 8 days away from kickoff. You realize a week from tomorrow night, the Texans and Chiefs play a game that matters. In the meantime, ESPN.com released the top 100 players earlier this week. Dak Prescott came in at 20. Noticeably absent from the list was Jimmy Garoppolo, who led San Francisco to the Super Bowl last year. The great Jerry Rice was asked to compare how Dak would fare in Kyle Shanahan's system, the San Francisco offense. And here's what Jerry Rice said. He said, "I think Prescott would have success, but I don't think he would be like Jimmy G. Overall, I think Jimmy G is the better quarterback than Dak. I'm sorry. I'm just going to call it. That's just my opinion. That's my opinion, and I could be wrong, but I think right now, with Jimmy G, he's the better quarterback than Dak Prescott." There's a part of me that hates doing this because I feel like we make everything a referendum on just how good Dak Prescott is or isn't on this show all the time. But when Jerry Rice says something, I feel like you have to react to it. So Shefty, RC, and Orlovsky, I will start with you as my quarterback conversationalist. Is Jimmy G better than Dak Prescott?
Hard no, Greeny. Hard no. Listen, Dak Prescott is significantly better than Jimmy G. And Jimmy G's a good player, but Dak Prescott, if Dak Prescott was with the weapons and the talent that San Francisco's offense has had and the play caller that Kyle Shanahan is, Dak Prescott would have his contract by now, and it would be a really, really big one. Easy as this. Jimmy G's season last year, while being his first season starting all those games, was his best year, like 27 touchdowns, 13 picks, 3,900 yards or something like that. Good year. That is Dak Prescott's worst year in the NFL. Around 2017, he had like 3,300 yards, 22 touchdowns, like very similar stats. That was Dak's worst year, and last year was Jimmy G's best year. And so Dak is a head and shoulders better quarterback than Jimmy G.
Yeah, I'm not going to quibble over the play calling because I understand that part of it. From a personnel standpoint, I mean, Dak has been surrounded by really good players from the moment that he got there. In particular, he's got Zeke Elliott. He's got a great offensive line. He's got Amari Cooper. Ryan Clark, when you hear Jerry Rice say he thinks Jimmy G is better than Dak, what do you think?
Greeny, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to picture this with me. I want you to picture the playmaker Michael Irvin sitting across from you. Sweating as if he just run 21-10 with a multicolored pocket handkerchief hanging 6 inches out of his left coat pocket, saying that I think Jimmy G is better than Dak Prescott. Because that's what we're essentially asking Jerry Rice to do. Jerry Rice is a 49er legend. Jerry Rice is an NFL. Jerry freaking Rice is the guy. Right. But he's the guy because of what he did for the San Francisco 49ers. So you think when he's talking or asked a question or answering a question, he's going to say that anybody's better than Jimmy G? No, not unless we just absolutely know it. If they bring up Patrick Mahomes, is Patrick Mahomes better than Jimmy G? You know what Jerry Rice is going to say? No comment. Next question, because he knows the answer. And as a San Francisco 49er legend and Hall of Famer, he cannot say that somebody's better than Jimmy G. Now, let's look at Jimmy G when we talk about having Dak Prescott and him having weapons. Kyle Shanahan, to me, is one of the best play designers and play callers in the NFL. And I think we saw that last year. Jimmy G is a good quarterback. I think Jimmy G gets a lot of credit for wins that he didn't necessarily play a big role in. Can Jimmy G play? Yes. Is he the right fit for the San Francisco 49ers and their run-heavy play-action pass offense? Yes. I believe Dak Prescott is more talented. I believe Dak Prescott is a better leader. I think Dak Prescott has better measurables and more upside than Jimmy G. So I disagree totally with what Jerry Rice had to say.
Jeffy, what do you make of this whole conversation?
Let me say this. We still have not seen the best of Jimmy G. He got traded to San Francisco, basically got stuck in a new offense at the end of the year. The next year, he tears up his knee. The next year, he's coming back from a knee injury in which he's still acclimating to that offense. I think this is the first year we get a true glimpse of what Jimmy Garoppolo can be. in that 49ers offense. And I think there are a lot of quarterbacks. If you match them with Kyle Shanahan, their play is going to be elevated no matter who it is. So you are in a position to shine if you are playing for Kyle Shanahan, and Jimmy G is in that spot right now.
Yeah, look, I mean, I understand what you're saying about not giving him all the credit for the wins, but all he does is win. The reality is when he plays, they win. When he doesn't play, they lose. At some point, that ceases to feel like a coincidence. I have to leave it there. We're doing more of this as we go. But coming up next, if the Rockets lose tonight, should their fans fear the beard will be gone? Jalen has that answer coming up next. But first, a little sneaky Hembo time, and this one's going to be for David Jacoby. Which player has scored the most points in clutch time during this postseason? It's a good question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and this one is for Jacoby. David, Hembo wants you. Which player has scored the most points in clutch time this postseason? Who do you think?
See, I know Hembo, and the obvious answer is never the real answer, so you have to be close games. I'm going to go Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell is so close. He is second behind Jamal Murray.
Oh, that's the obvious answer, Hembo. Hembo's off his game.
Jamal Murray.
I went the other way.
Jamal Murray, 36 clutch time points. Donovan Mitchell, 31 clutch time points. Chris Paul and Nikola Jokic right behind them. Let me run the floor as we got Jalen and Jacoby and Vince Carter ready to go. Let's start with this. The battle between Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell ended last night with the Nuggets beating the Jazz by a deuce in Game 7. Murray scored 17. Mitchell scored 22. It was a wild finish. Nuggets will face the Clippers in Game 1 of the next series tomorrow night. Meanwhile, the Celtics take a 2-0 lead in their series with Toronto with a 3-point win. Celtics were down 8 in the fourth. Marcus Smart went nuts. Scored 16 straight points for Boston. Helped them get the win. Jason Tatum would finish with 34. Meanwhile, after a 15-point fourth quarter by Chris Paul on Monday night, the Thunder and the Rockets have to play a winner-or-go-home Game 7 tonight. Listen to Stephen A. Smith talking about what happens if the Rockets should lose tonight's game.
There is no way in hell that Mike D'Antoni will remain as the head coach of the Houston Rockets if they lose Game 7. You let go of Chris Paul. You trade him to Oklahoma City. You think he's done. You've upgraded to Russell Westbrook. And you go into a Game 7 with James Harden not having dissipated in any way. Still the superstar offensive player that he is. And you can't get out of the first round. You lose to Oklahoma City? Chris Paul, yes. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Danilo Gallinari? Really? That's why you go home? It will be over for Mike D'Antoni as head coach of the Houston Rockets if they lose this game. You can book it.
I could watch that all day long. And I could talk to these guys all day long. There they are. Jalen and Jacoby are ready to go. And the great Vince Carter here as well. VC, we talked about this earlier. Jalen, let me get your thoughts. What is at stake for the Rockets tonight?
Stephen A. is right, and for those closely affiliated with the league, it's almost feeling like stating the obvious. Mike D'Antoni has proven to be one of the better coaches in the NBA. He's mastered playing small ball, whether it's having Tucker at the center, you move Capella, now Russ is the guy that basically plays up front and gives you those paint points. But you can't have an MVP candidate in James Harden, Russell Westbrook, who you bring in, who recently won MVP, and then get bounced to Oklahoma City, the team that you traded Chris Paul to. He left that part out. And you see James Harden, Greeny, you see that arrow?
Yeah.
I've been talking about this VC the last couple of years. When he don't have the ball, he ain't cutting, he ain't moving, he ain't screening. And yeah, we're gonna show Russ throw the ball out of bounds a couple of times. Mm-hmm. But you know what else I saw Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell do? Go get the ball when it got tight. So I agree with Stephen A. If they don't win, this will cost Mike D'Antoni his job.
But that's just the beginning of it, right, Vince? What else? This could look like a referendum on small ball and to some degree on James Harden as well. What do you think?
A little bit of both. I mean, they're having success with small ball. They had success with small ball. Right now, it's up question. But I agree with Jalen, and I agree with Stephen A. Well, first of all, James Harden is your go-to guy. He's proven. He's playing extremely well. Go get the ball. But at the same time, Westbrook was out 2 weeks. And we know, Jalen, you know this as well, it's not that easy to come back and just be in rhythm. And they're putting the ball in his hands late in the game, his meeting Westbrook late in the game. And that's tough. And he's a different beast. Don't get me wrong. Westbrook's a different beast. But right now, you give him a chance to get back into the game. You see he's struggling. I put the ball in James Harden's hand. If anything, I put Westbrook give Westbrook the ball, let him set up, and get James Harden the ball on the second side with a live dribble. And nobody can stop him one-on-one. But right now, like you said, Jalen, you look at those two clips. He's walking away. He's standing there. It's an easy guard. And it can't be that way tonight, or it's going to – that whole thing's going to blow up over there.
Well, David, we all know James Harden's history in the postseason. Will it be fair if they lose tonight if most of it comes down on him?
No, it won't be. And there's so much at stake for this franchise because not just D'Antoni, there's also Daryl Morey, who is the person that traded Chris Paul and brought in Russell Westbrook, who is the person that traded Clint Capella to double down on small ball. But we have a little bit of recency bias here. Let's not forget Game 5. Does everybody remember Game 5? I don't remember the second half because I stopped watching because the Rockets were up by like 45 points. I really feel like it's fun to discuss what would happen if they lose tonight. But are any of us really expecting them to lose tonight? Because I certainly am not.
I'm not either, but I wasn't expecting this one to go right. 7 to begin with. When they were up 2-0, I thought this was going to be a short series. All right, next order of business. We had a very good conversation about this earlier. Jalen, I'm dying to hear your thoughts on it. This was Giannis after a Game 1 loss to Miami in which Jimmy Butler scored 40 points. You will hear the question and the answer.
Did you ask Bud to take Jimmy late?
To guard him?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Why would you ask that?
Is that something you want to do going forward?
No, I'll do whatever coach tells me to do.
Jalen, he says, didn't even enter his mind to say, I want to go get Jimmy Butler, Defensive Player of the Year. What do you think, Jay?
My high school coach, Perry Watson, used to always tell us, don't pay me lip service. I can't hear what you're saying because your actions are so loud. I can't hear what you're saying because your actions are so loud. And I agree, Greek Freak is at the press conference saying all of the right things, falling on the sword for his team and for his coach. But watch the next game. And I guarantee you, Jimmy Butler starts to get going, he will be checking him. We can't come on television, and me in particular, somebody that voted for the Greek Freak last year to win Defensive Player of the Year, I voted for Anthony Davis to win it this year, but say he played 5 positions, and then all of a sudden a guy on the other team get 40 points and a career high in the playoffs, and he don't go try to shut it down. I anticipate moving forward that's going to happen if Jimmy Butler gets going.
But, Jalen, the question is, should he have done that? It's one thing for the coach to make that decision after Game 1. Should Giannis have been in there saying, guys, I'm going to get him. I don't care what the coach says. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to go shut down Jimmy Butler.
So here's what happens when you got these superstars like Vince Carter. You can get a ball too late. Remember we was talking about James Harden earlier? Vince had this look in his eye where he'll come push you out the way, he'll palm the ball on one hand, and he'll do like this, put it on his hip, and you know he's about to go to work. The same thing with Giannis, right, defensively. In our minds, they're paying other people to play guard, right? Where's Wesley Matthews? Where's Middleton? Where's Hill? What's up, B?
One thing.
For one game?
I hear you, but who's the defensive player of the year?
Giannis.
And at that point, when you need a stop, what better situation than to have the defensive player of the year on your team to go get you a stop? That's all I'm saying.
Jacoby, why are you calling a 20?
You can pay whoever you want to pay.
Jalen, Vince, between the two of you, you have about 450 years of experience in the NBA. Between the two of you, you've played for every single team in the NBA. But I have to respectfully disagree with you here. Look at these numbers. The Bucks have the best defense in the NBA. Do you know why? Because they pack the paint. They're the best defensive rebounders. They have the third most blocks in the league. They give up the least amount of points in the paint because they bring Giannis into the paint, they bring Lopez into the paint, and they let you shoot threes. Just because Jimmy Butler hit a couple threes, who's not a great three-point shooter, by the way, they're not going to completely just throw out their defensive philosophy because in Game 1, Jimmy Butler hit a couple threes. You might see him switch on to him, but you want Giannis and Lopez in the paint. That's what you want to do.
Go ahead, Vince.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when I need a stop with his length, his athletic ability, and the defensive player of the year, if we're going to lose, we're going to lose because our best defender was guarding the hottest player on the court at that moment. If I'm the coach, that's what I'm saying. I say, hey, I got it. I got you. But a coach's dream is to come in the huddle at the end of a game and your star player or your best defender or your defensive player of the year says, scrap all that. I got him. Because I tell you what, if the situation was flipped around, Giannis has 40 points. Jimmy Butler walks into that huddle and says, I got him. Y'all pack the paint. Lopez, make sure you're there, but I got him. I'm sending them to you.
Vince, let me tell you how it's going to play out. You're going to need that stop at the end of the game, right? You're going to put Giannis on Jimmy Butler. Giannis is going to use his length. Jimmy Butler's going to rise up to shoot, and he's going to miss. And then Bam Adebayo is going to dunk the rebound because there's no one in the paint because Giannis is too far from the hoop. That's how it's going to play out.
What about Lopez?
Jalen, what do you think? Because Kendrick said the same thing that Vince Carter is saying. He's saying that, he told the story earlier, Kendrick told the story earlier, that Kevin Garnett, when he was Defensive Player of the Year in a playoff game against LeBron, when LeBron is going off, Kevin Garnett went in the huddle and said, Doc, forget everything else. I got LeBron. And that's what he wanted Giannis to do.
But he also played with two other Hall of Famers. I saw Paul Pierce in a lot of that footage and Ray Allen in a lot of that footage and Tony Allen in a lot of that footage as well. That's my point. So therefore, you have to allow guys to play their role. You can't just be the best player. I can't play with Reggie Miller or Vince Carter and they take every single shot. It doesn't work like that. You got to actually trust the guys around you. You got to trust Middleton and Matthews and these guys that they can get a stop. And when you see after game one that they weren't able to do it, now you make an adjustment. You can't do the whole knee-jerk thing and now all of a sudden the guy make a couple of shots and you scrap everything that you've done all year. I want the best player to feel like I want the challenge at all time. Absolutely. But at the same time, it was only game one. I'm not going to pile on Giannis just yet about it.
Vince.
Yeah, we're not piling on him, but I'm just saying, right now, you want the advantage. You're the number one team. Your goal is to win a championship. So I think winning game one sets the bar and precedent of what you're trying to accomplish. So in when my team needs it, we're going to look at our superstar. That's just how it is. You know that because – like we're saying right now, if he goes out there and he guarded him, he stopped him, this narrative is a little different. We're talking about the Defensive Player of the Year went and got the biggest stop of the series so far.
Vince, let me ask you one more quick question while I have you because I haven't had you this week. A lot of people look at this. David Jacoby was on this show predicting that Miami was going to beat Milwaukee. You said that weeks ago. Vince, do you think the Bucks are in trouble with this opponent?
I think the Bucks gonna need their others to play well. I think it's a wake-up call. But you, right now, you've given a Miami Heat team with a lot of confidence in a star player in Jimmy Butler who believes they can go. This man said, "I'm here on a business trip." That's all you need to know. Nah, family, y'all stay home. I'm on a business trip. They believe they can win the series.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify could do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/getup, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/getup to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/getup.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
And Jalen, quick final thought. Who wins tonight? Game 7, Rockets, CP3, and Thunder. Who wins?
I'm going with Houston to win that series. I didn't know if you was talking about it. I'm going to Houston to win that series. As it relates to the Bucks, I was going to say one more thing.
Yeah.
So their team has done a terrific job the last couple of years being the number one seed in the regular season. But I agree with VC. When you look at the Miami Heat, the reason why a lot of people felt like they would win, not because that they're necessarily more skilled, is people feel like they're tougher. So if you're the Bucks, you got to play tougher. Miami, scrap the stat sheet. They're trying to bully you. Crowder, Bam, that's what VC is talking about. They're trying to bully you. So that's what Milwaukee has to bring to fight to the game. I don't think they go down 0-2. I'm taking the Bucks.
All right, we'll keep an eye on all of it. Jalen and Jacoby, awesome. Vince Carter, thank you. Much more to come here as we go in the NBA playoffs. Continue tonight on ESPN. You'll see it. Giannis and the Bucks trying to even that series starting 6:30 Eastern, followed by the critical Game 7. Harden and the Rockets, CP3 and the Thunder. Coverage tips off 6 Eastern with NBA Countdown on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, Kirk Cousins was asked about playing in the age of COVID. He gave an answer that is raising eyebrows, to say the least. You will hear what he said coming up next here on Get Up. And a reminder, ESPN's live coverage of the U.S. Open continues today, noon Eastern time, with top seed Novak Djokovic in second round action. You will see plenty of it, and all the matches stream live on the ESPN app. Get Up is brought to you by Disney's new movie, Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Streaming Friday, available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premier access. Meanwhile, let's run the bases around the action for the majors yesterday. We start with the Giants, who look like the football Giants. They dropped 23 runs on the Rockies, led by 3 homers from Alex Dickerson. The Giants' 23 runs tie their most in a game since moving to San Francisco. That was 1958. Elsewhere, it was the debut the Marlins were hoping for when they traded for Starling Marte. He hit a go-ahead homer in the bottom of the eighth. Marlins a 3-2 win. They are now 3 games out of first place in the National League East. Elsewhere, controversy. Yankees beat the Rays 5-3, but all the talk afterwards was about that. 101 mile an hour, Aroldis Chapman fastball just over the head. Benches would empty after the game ended. Here was Kevin Cash, frustrated after the game.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It was mishandled by the Yankees. Certainly the pitcher on the mound. It was mishandled by the umpires. Poor judgment, poor coaching. It's just poor teaching what they're doing and what they're allowing to do. Somebody's got to be accountable. And the last thing I'll say on it is I got a whole damn stable full of guys that throw 98 miles an hour, period.
Well, that's ominous. So tempers might flare as these teams play again tonight. It's their last meeting of the season. As far as the standings, you see it there. The Rays are up 3.5 games. Each of the top two teams in each division make the playoffs, so the Yankees are on track for that. Back to football. Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins is at peace with the thought of contracting COVID-19. He appeared on the 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt podcast and indicated he doesn't believe face masks work. He also said he respects other people's concern with the virus, but added, quote, "If I get it, I'm going to ride it out. I'm going to let nature do its course. Survival of the fittest kind of approach. And just say if it knocks me out, it knocks me out. I'm going to be okay. You know, even if I die, if I die, I die. I kind of have peace about that." So they showed me these quotes. I don't really know exactly what to do with them, but they seemed significant enough to at least bring you on the air here. Ryan Clark, Dan Orlovsky, and Shefty, I will start with you. The National Football League is not approaching this as an entity anywhere near the same way that Kirk Cousins is describing.
Listen, the NFL has approached this with the seriousness that it deserves, and I think the NFL has done a great job of handling this so far. You see the low number of cases, but it doesn't change the fact, Greeny, on this particular issue, with this particular virus, everybody has a different perspective. Some people are comfortable sending their kids back to school. Some aren't. Some believe in the virus. Some don't. So Kirk Cousins obviously is saying what he does, and he feels very strongly it goes against what the league has said, what the league believes, what the league is doing on an everyday basis. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm sure there are other people who feel the same way Kirk Cousins does, and there are people on the opposite end of the spectrum as well.
Dan Orlovsky, I'm sitting here trying to figure out exactly how to react to this. How do you react?
I get it. I understand where he's coming from because when speaking of as a pro athlete, right, you don't get to become a pro athlete because you think that you're like other people or you think like other people. A lot of pro athletes believe that they are invincible. They have for a long period of time. I did it myself. They think that they are Superman. And so a lot of times people get told as athletes when you're a young kid, don't let anybody tell you that you can't do something. And so you convince yourself of that. It's one of the main reasons why you make it to the pros. I'd say this, and I've said this about this situation. This is not the time to prove how tough you are. There's other times to prove how tough you are. This is not one of those situations. And so I think Kirk needs to be empathetic. I mean, his head coach is 65 years old. So, you know, he has said his view on wearing the masks is for other people, and I hope that's true. But this is not the time to kind of pound your chest and prove how tough you are. And so I get his mindset. Probably shared it as a player. But my goodness, we have to have empathy and understanding towards others and not just ourselves. And I would encourage Kirk to kind of share that or change his viewpoint when it comes to that.
RC?
I'm glad I went third because I got to, after listening to it, kind of digest it. I know tough people. I know a ton of tough people. I play with tough people. Many of those tough people that I play with consider me a tough person. As someone here who has dealt with something that happened on the field that almost cost him his life, I agree with Dan. We are people who like to face adversity, who like to overcome obstacles, who have to prove day in and day out that we are different. Kirk Cousins ain't tough, y'all. This is not about toughness. Kirk Cousins ain't no tough dude. I played with Kirk. Kirk's a good football player. Kirk's a football player that will stand in and do things that quarterback has to do. If I had 10 people to take with me and say I wanted to take the 9 other toughest people that played on my team, Kirk Cousins wouldn't be in that group. I think when you make statements like this and you pound your chest like this, it doesn't show empathy for the people that have lost their lives to COVID-19. It doesn't show empathy for the people that have lost family members. And also when you think about protecting yourself and saying that you don't believe in certain things, if you have compassion, if you care about other people, you're going to do at least what is being mandated by the NFL, what's being mandated of you by your team, and listen to some of the things that are going on with the reports of what COVID-19 can do to certain people who are predisposed to having this disease take their lives or having this disease put them in the hospital, and at least try to protect them. And so for me, for me, you know, he can do whatever he wants to do, but I hope that the league continues to take this seriously. I hope that the players continue to take this seriously. This is not a time to judge Kirk Cousins' opinions, but it is time to talk about what the ramifications of this type of thought process could be for himself, could be for his teammates, and could be for this league.
Well, that's really well said, and I'm really glad you said it. I'm going to leave it there because I don't think there's any good way to follow that up. I think that was everything we needed to say about that. We'll take a break. As we continue, will they or won't they? After President Trump's tweet, some are hopeful that we will see Big Ten football sooner than later. Will we? Stephen A. and Max discuss that and more. First Take follows us in 6 minutes. Get Up is brought to you by Marvel's Avengers. Pre-order now. Available on 9-4, rated T-14. Tomorrow on ESPN2, the second annual UEFA Nations League tournament kicks off with soccer powerhouses Germany and Spain squaring off. That's tomorrow, 2:30 Eastern, on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, we got to leave you with this. Bill Belichick's new Subway commercial. Enjoy.
Whoa. Bill Belichick?
Really?
You're right. I should get a delicious footlong from Subway. That would be better.
Yeah. Now you look better, too.
Adam Schefter is an Emmy in the offing for Belichick.
Hey, listen, he has shown he's got many skills here, and I think he's missed so many opportunities by not doing more of these things. We should also point out that the proceeds of that commercial go to his foundation, so it's for a great cause, and you see how much personality he has. A lot of people don't get to see it, but there's a lot of personality there, Greeny.
That is well said, and that is an excellent way to leave it. Shefty, thank you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, everybody, for getting up with us this morning. I will see you coast to coast on ESPN Radio starting at noon Eastern time, but the conversation continues with First Take right now.